Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by. Many of you have asked, where are we going to be? What are we doing? Southwest Radio Church Prophecy Conference got their full schedule coming out now. Going to be down in Lakeland, Florida at the end of January. Going to be in Tri-Cities, Tennessee. Boone's Creek Bible Church, March the 25th and 26th. Going to be up here in Fort Wayne, April the 22nd and 23rd. In May, we're going to be in Wichita, Kansas. And in July, Washington, D.C. That'll be exciting. Festus, Missouri in August. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, September the 16th. Columbus, Ohio, October the 27th. And Las Vegas, Nevada in November. That's it so far. Looking really good and excited for the opportunity to share Jesus with people. You pray for us. Continue, please. God's blessing in a mighty way. New book, it's coming down the wire here. Invisible War and the Saints. Going to be such a big help to people. Oh, the shame of it all. The left-leaning loonies have resorted now to shaming you, insulting you if you're unvaccinated, as the ongoing COVID pandemic surges across America. But medical professionals don't think the substandard tactic is appropriate unless the ultimate goal is to further divide the United States of America. Amen? The new America? A Washington Post columnist on Tuesday praised French President Emmanuel Macron for a series of very discouraging remarks that he made about the unvaccinated, urging readers globally to make life a living hell for anyone who chooses not to get the vaccine. Where's my gun? The opinion column titled, Macron is right, it's time to make life a living hell for anti-vaxxers. That's the latest example of the left-leaning loonies and news organizations calling for Americans who declined the COVID vaccine to be treated very poorly. How sad. Time to hear from Wacky Sacky, the White House press secretary. She took aim at critics of President Biden's speech on voting rights, calling objections to his vitriolic diatribe hilarious. She said, I know there have been a lot of claim of the offensive nature of the speech yesterday, which is hilarious on so many levels, given how many people sat silently over the last 4 years of this former president, Sacky said. She added that what is even more offensive is the effort to suppress people's basic rights to exercise who they want to support and who they want to elect, arguing the election overhaul legislation should not be a partisan thing. This woman is a moron. It was combative. It was aggressive and very unpresidential for Sliden Biden. And let's talk about that. Sliden. Biden's plummeting standing with Americans remains firmly in very negative territory as the new year gets underway. The president's approval rating stands at 33%. Disapproval, 53% among Americans in a new national poll conducted January the 7th and 10th and released yesterday. Biden's approval is down 3 points from the previous survey conducted in November, with disapproval remaining unchanged. He's heading for the gutter. And then, what's the latest on his son? A woman by the name of Kathleen Buell, that was Hunter Biden's first wife, opened up for the first time about the demise of their 24-year marriage in a forthcoming book, If We Break, A Memoir of Marriage, Addiction, and Healing. It's coming out in June and will cover Biden's addiction and infidelity and Buell's life after their marriage. I'm sure many of you can identify with this. She said, when my marriage ended, I felt like I'd lost my sense of who I was. Anyone who's seen addiction ruin a relationship or been through infidelity and divorce can tell you how devastating all of this feels. But what I also realized through those crushing experiences that I needed to find a way to stand there on my own. Quite a story. Hunter Biden, spending the family's money on drugs, prostitutes, alcohol, the strip clubs. Wow. The stories abound every day by the hundreds. As Manchester, New Hampshire police trying to track down a homeless drug-addicted dad in a desperate search for his missing 7-year-old daughter, Harmony, the girl's mother sent a heartbreaking plea to the mayor there, Her father, Adam, has physical custody of her, and he's currently homeless and under the influence, she said. As she wrote the mayor, she just did not understand there was an open case for her daughter, and the social services didn't remove her when they witnessed her bruises, and the house at that time had no running water. Boy, there's sad, sad stories out there. What's the latest on COVID? The World Health Organization made a statement yesterday that a vaccination strategy based on getting repeated booster doses of the original COVID, those vaccines unlikely to be appropriate or sustainable. Where's Dr. Fauci? Why don't you weigh in here? Recognizing the inability of the shots to stop this spread, the UN Health Agency said future vaccines against COVID must be more effective in protection against the infection, thus lowering community transmission. Doesn't do anything, huh? And relative to that, here is a story from Moronville. A Ronald McDonald House in British Columbia is evicting the family of a 4-year-old boy with cancer because they've not taken this experimental COVID-19 shot, according to the report. The action, which apparently allowed the family members until the end of January to take the experimental shots or get the boot, is being documented now online. Austin Ferguson appears in the video holding up a notice he said was given to him by the Ronald McDonald Facility, which is a charity that provides a temporary home to pediatric cancer patients while they're being treated at the hospital. This page-long missive states that beginning January 17th, all patients attending family members and visitors over age 5 must be vaccinated. Well, they're trying a major redo of Kamala Harris, Vice President of the United States. President Biden said he plans to run for re-election when he's done with this term, but speculation that the 79-year-old Democrat will not compete for a second term has not let up, and Vice President Harris has drawn more scrutiny in her role and unparalleled interest as a potential successor to Biden. They say they've got to do some things to get her around to even be considered presidential material. The Vice President's team has had an opportunity to reposition her as a high-level emissary, including infrastructure projects, social programs. So many people have quit. After the Christmas break, they started all over once more. Okay. Well, here's something you probably have not heard about. The global pandemic has blazed a long trail of upheaval. The vast majority of it is very bad. Surging inflation rates, small business devastation, death toll that's climbed above the last 10 years of casualties from any flu bug. But according to a new report from the World Economic Forum, that's not the worst part, really. What we should fear most is the social cohesion erosion. That's the fastest growing threat to our planet. Well, I would ask, what in the world is that? If you think it sounds scary, you're not alone. According to the WEF, it's perceived as a critical threat to the world across all time spans, short, medium, long term, and it's seen as among the most potentially damaging in the next 10 years. Social cohesion worsens upon rising divisions and polarization in any society, as income inequalities are exacerbated by the pandemic's lopsided recovery. For example, with 51 million people projected to live in extreme poverty by 2030, while billionaires grow richer and richer, erosion also lurks in the fiscal features. Opposing viewpoints, vaccine, face mask mandates, and in the rallying cries for long-awaited racial justice in historically oppressed communities. So this is the big danger. You'll hear more about it in the days ahead. Social cohesion erosion. One of the things we discuss in our new book, The Invisible War, is UFOs. Well, now a former U.S. Air Force nuclear weapons technician, Adrian Reister, describes glowing orbs have been hovering around the high-security Missouri base and coming face-to-face with a shadow person. a decorated U.S. Air Force serviceman, is the latest in a long line of military personnel to report some strange UFOs apparently taking an interest in our nuclear weapons facilities. So, what do you think they are? One of the questions that we ask and answer is, why would a demon need to fly around in an unidentified flying object? Interesting thought. Hey, some of you need to plug in to Living in Today's World stories that you have heard that have been a comfort, an encouragement, a challenge. That's what this segment is all about. The stories can be about you or others, my friend, but just an encouragement on Hello World. Just message me on Facebook and get your story in. I shared with you last week and again this week about my pastor, former pastor, James Bachman, and his bout with cancer, and it's just all starting, and we're not sure what's going to happen. I shared with you, I think yesterday, I talked about how he had led four people to Christ, waiting to get in to see the doctor there in the lobby of the doctor's office. Sharon wrote to me last night, said, tonight I'm not asking for another prayer request, wanting to share again God's faithfulness and blessings on us today. Because we are part of the Samaritan Ministries program, we are considered self-pay for all of our medical bills. The hospital allows a 50% discount if you're able to pay the bill in full within the first 10 days. I called today to put Jim's charges on a credit card. The original bill was almost $11,000 just for our emergency room visit. Shortly after I paid the bill, we received a message from the hospital. They said they had good news for us. Though unknown to us, they said Jim had a positive COVID test result while we were there at the hospital, though COVID was not the reason he was there. When the lady in the financial counseling department went to print off our statement, she found that an uninsured testing and treatment fund called CARES had completely paid for the bill. Completely. We owe nothing of the $11,000. There were lots of tears here, and lots of praises to our wonderful, faithful God for his blessing in our lives today. Pastor James Bachman's wife, Sharon. My, oh my, that's really a good one, living in today's world. What's happening? Business news. Prices at the wholesale level surged to a record, well, nearly 10%. For all of 2021, setting an annual record and providing further evidence that inflation is still present at all levels of the U.S. economy. Elon Musk upset. He and a lot of Hollywood actors alike are criticizing a California proposal that would cut rooftop solar system subsidies. Cannabis compounds we shared yesterday, they say now again, have the potential to prevent COVID-19, according to new lab studies. Oh, you'll get to hear this name in the days ahead, Rachel Bukovec. She was introduced as the manager of the New York Yankees low A affiliate team called the Tampa Tarpons. She will be the first female skipper in affiliated baseball history. There you go. And finally, who said that? Doesn't matter. It's good stuff, my friend. There isn't a mask big enough to protect us from everything that is going on in the world today. Well, I think you could amen that, right? Oh, no, what we need is to suit up, according to Ephesians 6:10 through 18, with the whole armor of God. Could we get somebody to say amen? And one of you sent me this. It just looks bad. A peanut butter and dill pickle pie. You're not serious. You are serious. Oh, boy. Where's my Bible? Life 101, right after this important message. Just joined us. Where have you been? Hello, world. News, information, and comment. Been on the air for years now, sharing all of that stuff for the Christian. Not only have we pastored in the same church for 34 years and speak around America every month through Southwest Radio Church's ministry. God has just blessed in an unusual way, and most of this would not be possible without you. We appreciate your prayers, and we certainly appreciate your finances, which have increased in the last 12 months. God has been laying it on many of your hearts to help us at Greg Pat Ministries. You can do so through the cross, 5300 Winchester Road in Fort White, Indiana. And if you're ever in our area, like in April when we have a conference for Southwest Radio Church, we would love to see you personally. Come join us at the cross in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I wonder how many of you out there are just like me. Some folks asking about this invisible war, victim or victor. What are you trying to do there, Greg? Just help people, heal the brokenhearted, set the captive free. That's why I got into the ministry in the first place. I mean, when I see people making wrong decisions, I want to stop them, don't you? When I see people in great need, maybe in demonic bondage, I want to meet that need. I think I can. When I see people hurting, I want to do whatever's necessary to, well, alleviate that hurt in their life. And when I see people treated unjustly, I want to rescue them. How about you? I want to defend them. I think it's natural to want to help those that we love. However, God wants us to be careful not to be a hindrance to His work, because any time that we interfere with what He is doing in another person's life, the results can be, well, devastating. Have you thought about that? Now, wait a minute here. That's not to say that God does not want us to help others. He does. Nonetheless, we need to be very sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in these situations. When we respond to the needs of others based on what we feel is right, we risk damaging the work that the Holy Spirit is trying to do. One of the things that we talk about in our book is that you, Satan, or is that you, God? Because God oftentimes gets in there and lets things happen in your life to get your attention, to get you on the right path in life. The disciples faced this same situation before Jesus died. They had personal hopes and dreams for the future, and they were sure the kingdom of God was just before them there. Then Jesus Christ began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and that he must be killed and raised up, there it is, on the third day. That's Matthew 16:21. Jesus suddenly brought his disciples to a point of confirmation concerning the future of his ministry. He revealed to them what the Father had called him to do, but they could not accept that. The mission that Jesus came to fulfill was quite different than the one they had planned, the one that was in their mind. Does this sound familiar at all? Peter especially could not bear the thought of losing all that he had worked to establish. He never heard Christ's words concerning the resurrection. All he heard were the words concerning his death, and all he could think of doing was finding a way to stop this whole mess. As fearless as his words seemed, they were just wrong. Satan tried to use Peter's love and dedication to hinder God's work. Jesus immediately recognized the enemy's deception and rebuked Peter's words. As gallant as our efforts may seem today at different times, we too can become a hindrance to the work of Almighty God in that person's life, whoever that person may be. Your spouse, your kids, somebody at church. There are times when God's will calls us to help a person who is suffering. Other times, He may call us to pray for that individual. When we fail to understand that hurt and suffering are God's tools used to accomplish His plan, we strive to remove what we perceive to be the problem. And without realizing it, Peter tried to thwart the will of God. Yeah, he did. He did not realize that what Jesus was about to do had eternal consequences. Could it be maybe that you're standing in the middle of God's path? That's hard to handle, isn't it? God hurts when He sees us hurting, but He knows that sometimes that pain, that suffering, are the very tools that He can use to get our attention in life. You know, we get in God's way when we only get part of the story. Peter heard Jesus say, "I must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the scribes and the elders and the chief priests, and I must be killed." His entire focus fell on those few words. He ignored Jesus' promises that he would rise from the dead after 3 days. And in his fear and in his selfishness, two things that we talk a great deal about in our new book, fear and selfishness, Peter missed the promise of the resurrection. All of us have witnessed friends and family members in situations that just seem, well, that's horrible, that's unbearable. We want to find a way to change the circumstances. How can I get in here and do something? Do I have the money? Do I have the time? Do I have the resources, whatever that might be, to to alleviate this problem, but we know only part of the story sometimes. In our good intentions, we fail to see things that, well, that God has in mind, what his perspective is and all that. He knows the mess that they are in. He knows how they got there. He also knows the route they need to take to get out of that mess. When we get in God's way, we delay the whole process. Our motivation may be very sincere, but not sincerely right. Another way to get in God's way is being ignorant of the plan of God. His plan may be to take a person so low that he will cry out to God in desperation. He knows when there's an area of resistance, when there's self-sufficiency, or when there's pride, one of the biggest problems in the church. He also knows the way any of us will come to him is through complete surrender. It's the only way to get there. And that's exactly what he wants. Therefore, whenever we step into a situation without God's leading, we interfere with his plans. And many times we interfere because we do not understand the ways of God. Just before their conversation, Peter had confessed Jesus as the Messiah. The Lord praised his words as coming directly from the Heavenly Father. And Peter was excited. He was delighted. Sure he was. He thought he had gained insight into the ways of God. And naturally, when Jesus said, "I will suffer and die," well, Peter just rebuked him. In Peter's mind, there was no way this is going to be the way of God. God's plan was to redeem the nation of Israel and the world through the crucifixion. God's way was a way of weakness. It was the way of the cross. We think power. God thinks weakness. We think fighting. God thinks surrender. We get in God's way when we are blindly motivated by our sincere love and devotion and loyalty, and we want to bail everybody out, give them money, correct the injustice, wipe away those tears. Let's do it. We hinder God's plan when we take up the offense of others because of our own previous hurts. Peter personally knew the motives of the elders, scribes, and chief priests, and when Jesus said that these same men would be the reason for his death, Peter's only response, "God forbid. I'll get in there and take care of this." And the final reason we get in God's way is selfishness and self-serving attitudes of life. The disciples had left everything to follow Jesus. Now he was talking about dying, and Peter was consumed with the thought of what he and the others would do then. It's easy to see our own needs and fail to see God's overall plan in life. Instead of submitting to God's will, people tend to take things into their own hands and end up, well, just making a greater mess. You know, today, perhaps God is trying to work in your life, but a well-meaning friend keeps getting in the way. They want to protect you from pains and heartaches. And while their protection may feel very good to you emotionally, it is hindering the work of God in your life and prolonging your pain and difficulty and heartaches. Be careful of the counsel you take. Take time to be honest with God. Are you hindering what God is wanting to do in another person's life? If you will trust God, he'll complete the work that he began in the life of that one you love so much. Interesting thoughts, don't you think? And finally, somebody noticed this of the proper household cleaning agents out there. So many of them are Mr. Muscle, Mr. Sheen, Mr. Clean. And women are complaining that men don't help around the house. And every time I read this one, I think, yep, this is me. Someone just honked to get me out of my parking spot faster here at Kroger. So now I have to sit here until both of us are dead. Is that you? I thought so. This has been Hello World News, information, comment for the Christian, and so grateful you join us every day at this time. Join me on Facebook. Many of you are. Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-M. Get a copy of our new book, Living in Today's World, and get ready for the book, Invisible War on the Saints. Going to be good. Tomorrow, same time, same place. God bless.